Now, friends, this 67th Psalm is one of the shortest psalms of a prophetic nature that we have, and it has, you'll notice, seven stanzas. Now, I believe that the numbers in Scripture do have a meaning. I think you can go to see it in that direction also. But the number seven seems to be not so much the number of perfection as the number of completeness, and in the sense that it is complete, why there is the perfection always implied. But I think that completeness is the thing. And this gives us, as it were, a great song that reveals the ultimate and final desire and purpose of God for this earth. And actually, it's a great psalm of the kingdom. And we need to recognize that it's a psalm of the kingdom. And there are certain things in this psalm that are quite wonderful, and we'll spend a few moments here today. It's been labeled a missionary psalm. For instance, the Expositor's Bible says this: this psalm is a truly missionary psalm. And then they proceed to give the outmoded post-millennial interpretation of the church converting the world. Now, it's not a missionary psalm as such. Actually, the church is not in this psalm at all. In fact, I think that by now, many of you have discovered that at least we do not believe the church is in the Psalms only in a figure of speech or in a symbol. We saw it in the 45th Psalm as the queen in the gold of Ophir that was there. And that is, the church will be with the Lord Jesus when he reigns on the earth. Now, this actually is a prophetic psalm. It looks beyond this age to the kingdom. It's a millennial kingdom we're talking about. And there you see a converted world, a renovated world. And it's a world in which God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. The curse will be removed, and then I'll be able to sing the hallelujah chorus. Now, I want to use this today as an example of the fact that there is a difference between interpretation and the application of Scripture. And we need to learn to make that. One of the simplest rules of Scripture, and one that I'm afraid that a great many theologians and Bible teachers in our seminaries have forgotten. It's so simple, they want to be very esoteric today and intellectual, so they miss these simple things. And the simple thing is this: all Scripture is for us, but all Scripture is not to us. And so we have that actually here. But it's for us. Now, we see here, first of all, the perspective of missions here. Now, somebody's going to say to me, how can you possibly get missions into a psalm if it looks beyond the church? Well, there's a great principle of hermeneutics. Now, that's the science of interpretation, and that means to distinguish between interpretation and application. Interpretation is definitive. It's like a mole. It's basic. And Scripture doesn't mean everything under the sun you want it to mean. It means one thing. But there is an application. And that application must rest upon the interpretation if it is to be accurate, and the application can be elastic. I can illustrate that with a very simple illustration. Now, a diamond, to be of any practical value, it first must be mounted in a proper setting. Then it may be worn on any finger it fits. I was in Washington for the first time several years ago, and I went to the Smithsonian, and among other things, I saw the Hope Diamond. And by the way, it was quite interesting. A great many people were passing by all the space exhibit, but they all were looking at that Hope Diamond. And I suppose that that's the covetousness that's in the hearts of all of us. That Hope Diamond was there. But I could see it as no value. It couldn't be worn on any finger. It's just There it is. And I'm told if anything happened there, that diamond where it rests, the case that it's in, it would go down in the basement somewhere in a vault. It's not doing anybody any good, as I can see, and no personal good at all. It's just a big diamond, ill-starred and ill-fated. Now, a diamond, therefore, must be in a setting. Scripture must first be put in a proper setting, and that's interpretation. Then it may be placed on the finger of experience, and that's application. We have an old bromide that says, if the shoe fits you, put it on. If you come to one of these psalms and it speaks to your heart, and God can speak to you in all of them, and I hope he does in all of them, why, it has a message. The interesting thing is that God's message to the seven churches of Asia, when the Lord Jesus spoke to them, it had a local application and a local interpretation, I believe, that God was speaking, and the Lord Jesus was speaking directly to a local church. But he concluded it by saying, hear, and that's for the fellow that's got ears. And if you got ears, he's talking to you. Let him that hath ears hear what the Spirit saith to what? The churches. And so there's a message, and every one of them for us. Now, that's application. Now, this is not a missionary psalm. I repeat that, but there are great principles here. Now, there are in this psalm several things that are quite interesting. There were the seven stanzas. Bless us is there three times. Praise thee is there four times. And there are three persons or groups here. God, and I think he's mentioned 15 times there, and the Trinity is there, and us, and that is not the United States. That's mentioned 6 times, and it's just as far-fetched to say that it's the church as to say it's the United States. Israel is mentioned, and in verse 6, it's even our own God. And that means Israel there. And the nations are mentioned 9 times. That means foreigners, their peoples or races, and different stratas of society. That means you and it means me.